introduce Megan Hagiwara, who's going to be talking about measuring racial discrimination in Hawaii's Chukki's community based on a systematic literature review. After graduating with her MPH, Megan joined the Kokua Kalihi Valley Community Health Center as the coordinator of tobacco programs. During her time there, she learned the true meaning of community partnerships. It also gave her the perspective that tobacco use itself was not the problem, but a result of larger issues, including discrimination. Megan is currently a doctoral candidate at the University of Hawaii, focusing on the effects of racial discrimination on the health of Hawaii's migrant and indigenous community.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. I can barely believe I was just trick-or-treating with my son in Hawaii, and a couple time zones later, and here I am in beautiful Chicago. So I'm sorry if I'm a little discombobulated, but I'm going to do my best. Today, I'm very excited to share some of our findings from our review of the literature. It changed a little bit since I uploaded the abstract, but we're looking at studies measuring racial discrimination in Indigenous and Asian Pacific Islander communities. Unfortunately, I'm a poor graduate student, so I have no financial relationships to disclose. But I know that there's several definitions of racial discrimination out there, so just to be sure that we're all on the same page, for the purpose of this study, we use the attitudes, actions, and institutional systems that degrade people based on their phenotypic characteristics or ethnic group affiliations. That said, there's a growing body of literature that supports the theory that experiencing an increase in racial discrimination can lead to an increase in negative health and healthcare outcomes. However, despite growth in this area, there is still no gold standard as to the best way to measure racial discrimination, and this is in part due to the complexity of this construct. However, several experts in this field have highlighted the importance of really tailoring your tool to your specific study population, and this is in part to address differences in nativity, culture, and concepts of race. And so we really wanted to apply these theories of racial discrimination and health to our Micronesian population in Hawaii. And just in respect to time, I'm going to provide a very brief description of this group. Micronesia is made up of thousands of islands and atolls situated in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Individuals from these nations have similarities as well as differences in their cultures and languages, and Micronesians are one of the fastest growing groups in the state of Hawaii. Many of the migrants coming to the U.S. come under the Compact of Free Association, or COFA treaties, which is basically a series of treaties signed between the U.S. and three Micronesian nations in the 1980s, which basically gives the U.S. exclusive military control over the region, along with the responsibility to develop their health and education infrastructure. Citizens from these nations have unlimited entry into the U.S. and can legally work here without visas, health clearances, or time limits. And population-based data is hard to obtain for this group, in part because we oftentimes aggregate them under the heterogeneous category of other Pacific Islander, right? However, we found that they have a high burden of both infectious and chronic diseases, in part due to the aftermath of the U.S.'s devastating nuclear testing in this region. And so during my time in Hawaii, I've had the honor to work with the Micronesian community, mostly during my time as a tobacco programs coordinator at a local community health center. And although I'm very proud of the work that we accomplished, I started to feel frustrated because I felt like we were treating tobacco as a problem rather than the result of larger issues. And I've come to believe that one of those larger issues is racial discrimination. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there about racial discrimination towards Micronesians in Hawaii, including an article in our local paper, Civil Beat, which was entitled No Aloha for Micronesians in Hawaii. However, when we look into the literature, we couldn't find any studies measuring racial discrimination in this group, and so we really wanted to broaden the scope of our literature review to include Indigenous and Asian Pacific Islander populations. And we felt that these groups were relevant because, like Micronesians, many Indigenous populations have suffered the historical trauma of colonization, as well as having negative experiences with Western research. And many Asian Pacific Islander populations have similar cultural protocols and beliefs to Micronesians, including placing a greater importance on the needs of the collective rather than the needs of the individual. And we felt that these factors may be relevant to how these groups discuss, perceive, and talk about racial discrimination. And so the aim of this study was really to be able to create a culturally sensitive measurement tool built upon the evidence from the literature which can measure racial discrimination in Hawaii's Micronesian population. We did find one review in the literature which measured racial discrimination in Asian American populations, and they concluded that it was important to include items measuring experiences and racial discrimination unique to the Asian American community that are not otherwise included in non-targeted scales. They also noted the lack of research within certain subgroups, including Pacific Islanders, which we thought highlighted the importance of our review. So for our methods, we followed the PRISMA guidelines, which is basically a checklist of 27 evidence-based items to help ensure that you conduct a sound literature review. We did our review in two databases using the same combination of search terms, which left us with about 1,900 articles. After removing duplicates, we had about 1,300. We reviewed these articles using our criteria of inclusion, that it was available in English, published in a peer-reviewed journal, and measured racial discrimination in an Indigenous or Asian Pacific Islander population. This left us with 53 articles. Most of the articles that we excluded were because they didn't use a measurement tool, so they're summaries or concept papers. They measured different constructs like reverse racism, or they didn't include one of our target populations. So then after doing our initial analysis, we excluded an additional 7 articles because they used the same database. So that left us with 46 non-duplicated studies in our review. We took these 46 studies and we analyzed them using our domains of interest. So some were process-oriented. You know, how did they collect their data? Did they use interviews or written surveys? And because Micronesians traditionally have an oral culture, we thought maybe interviews would be most appropriate. However, it may be really uncomfortable to talk about racial discrimination. Therefore, written surveys may be most appropriate. And so we really wanted to see what others were doing. We also wanted to see, did they use race-salient or neutral wording? Right, because we found that Micronesians are a very polite culture. They don't want to speak negatively about anyone. So using potentially polarizing words such as discrimination or racism may be really difficult. Oh, I have 10 minutes. So because Micronesians are a collectivist culture, we wanted to see how others measured collective experiences with racism. And based off of these findings, we wanted to find examples unique to measuring experiences unique to the Indigenous and Asian Pacific Islander populations. Okay, so for our 53 articles, 35 were done with Indigenous populations, and 18 were done with Asian Pacific Islanders. 13 were qualitative, so they used open-ended questions created specifically for their study. 40 were quantitative, 17 used non-validated surveys, and 23 used validated or modified versions of validated surveys, and 8 of these use scales created specifically for Indigenous or Asian Pacific Islander populations. Looking at our domains of interest, 29 of the studies use interviews. Some use multiple interview formats, but the majority use face-to-face interviews. 14 use written surveys, and 3 use both. And few quantitative studies provide reasoning as to why they chose their particular collection method, which is what we were really interested in, right, so we could better decide which was most appropriate. However, for example, one study used telephone interviews for their multi-ethnic populations, but they used face-to-face interviews for their harder-to-reach African-born and American Indian populations. But they didn't say why, if it was cultural or logistical. However, we ended up concluding that it was most appropriate to use face-to-face interviews for a Micronesian population, not only because the majority of studies use this method, but one researcher reported that face-to-face interviews respected a Maori-centered and focused approach. When we look at wording, 23 articles used race-salient wording. That just means they explicitly tied the experience to race. For example, have you ever been kept waiting or treated differently by a health professional because of your ethnicity? 12 used neutral wording, so they didn't make that connection. Someone assumed I spoke a language other than English. and 9 used both. Again, they didn't explain why they chose the wording that they did. However, one researcher reported they used both styles of wording because it's been found that people respond differently to race salient and neutrally worded items, and therefore these items may measure different dimensions of racial discrimination. And so in conclusion, we think it's probably most appropriate to use both for the same reasons. What we did find interesting was that the majority of qualitative studies used neutral wording. However, they were all able to elicit stories of discrimination, which we think highlight the fact that racial discrimination may be very prevalent in these communities. And so it may be appropriate to use neutrally worded open-ended questions in our survey, which may also help to respect the oral traditions of Micronesians. For examples of collective experiences of racial discrimination, one study done with Native Hawaiians asked participants to rate 6 items based on how you feel people with power have treated you and others as Native Hawaiians. Another study done with Asian Americans modified the everyday discrimination scale, which originally only measured individual experiences with racial discrimination, but they added, how often have you seen friends of the same race treated unfairly because of their race? Another study done with Indigenous families in Australia asked, have you or any other people in this house had to worry about racism in the last year? So we found really good examples of how people measure collective experiences with racial discrimination, some asking about their friends, some of their families, and some as a cultural group as a whole. Lastly, we want to see how do they measure unique experiences with racial discrimination, and it's not surprising that all scales created specifically for Indigenous and Asian Pacific Islander populations included these unique examples. For example, the subtle and blatant racism scale for Asian Americans included, in America, I'm expected to excel in academics because I'm Asian. Or the measure of Indigenous racism experiences scale created for Indigenous Australians ask, write, draw, sing, or paint about it as an option to responding to experiencing racial discrimination. I'm just going to skip ahead due to time. So we found a lot of helpful information, but we understand this is only the first step to creating a measurement tool. We've also done qualitative interviews with community members, and we want to pilot test our measurement tool in the future. So in conclusion, you know, racial discrimination has really come to the forefront of our national conversation, and it's really important for us to include everyone in that conversation, particularly often underrepresented or ignored groups such as Micronesians. And we believe to do this, we have to figure out a culturally sensitive way to talk about this potentially very uncomfortable subject. And so I just wanted to end with this idea. You know, some of you may be wondering, what business does this Japanese lady have talking about the Micronesian community? And I'm really inspired by my grandparents. All 4 of them were put into the Japanese internment camps during World War II. And I would always ask them, you know, aren't you mad? And they would never share with me stories of anger, but they would share with me stories of outsiders who helped them. And this is the legacy that they wanted to leave with me, and these are the stories that inspire me to want to try and be that helpful outside person. Because really, racial discrimination is everyone's issue, right? I'm not saying that anyone needs to be saved by an outsider in any way. However, when we're talking about broader social justice issues such as racial discrimination, everyone has to be at the table. We can't just say, oh, I didn't say that racist thing. I didn't make that racist policy. We really all have to be accountable. And so we hope that this project, in some small way, can help move this movement forward. Thank you.